Welcome to Nerdy, Bored, and Almost 30. I'm here with my co-host, Sarah.
Hi.
And we've got our friend, Michael, joining us.
Hey, how's it going?
It's a very special guest.
Super special.
Great. So we're trying to figure out which topic to pick. Sarah's got her face covered by her hand, and she's giggling.
Maybe we have some callers out there that can like help us figure this out.
No, really, you don't have callers yet? No.
No.
Okay.
Fred, you want to pick a topic for us? Fred's in the house.
Fred's in the house. Sobering up.
Eugenics.
Eugenics. Does it exist? Right.
So is it really such a bad idea to try to manufacture the perfect human or just creature using creature? DNA manipulation? Because dogs are basically like our most successful eugenics project.
Okay. Are we using eugenics as a way to say selective breeding?
Yes.
Okay. Then what's the problem with selective breeding when it comes to humans? Because I think that's where eugenics differentiates from like animal kingdom.
Yeah. I mean, like, what are we really talking about? Are we talking about the, like, just that notion of trying to create an optimal, like, genetic line? Or are we talking about the, like, historical racist practice of study of non-white people? Because I think those are two different ideas, right? One exists in comic books and the other one happened. So like, what are we talking about?
Eugenics does permeate reality. I think just the concept of manipulating genetics and DNA to create a more desirable human person.
Okay, so that's what we're talking about. Okay.
I think the issue lies when you're talking about in just the case of selective breeding. Like, it looks like we're headed towards a world in which we're gonna like celebrate the manipulation of genes in utero, but we're not gonna be telling people who they're fucking to get that mix of genes. Where I think that's like the issue of, like, in the past, it's like, oh, we selectively breed humans for this. You start treating them like cattle or like any kind of domesticated livestock.
Yeah, it's disrespectful to them as people.
I see that as a moral issue, not necessarily that like the genes are creating this optimal baby.
Well, that has to do with consent mostly. Like, people aren't being forced to breed with others based on their genetic makeup
anymore.
Because exactly. That would be wrong.
Yeah. And that's why we're like, oh my God, that was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not like, oh no, you wanted him like... Like, if we think now, like, okay, like, if we can engineer it so that, like, future children won't have cancer, right? There's, like, there's nothing morally wrong with that for the most part. I mean, unless you're, like, a Bible thumper, you might be like, oh.
Don't mess with God's creatures.
So, yeah, so I think, actually, I've been thinking about this a little bit in the past, like, month or so.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about, in that vein of trying to avoid or, like, kind of root out, you know, certain like predispositions for things like cancer or, you know, other genetic diseases.
Right.
There's this, you know, conversation about the like basically the, what is it called? Like neurotypical or neuroatypical like communities, talking specifically about like people with autism. I think is the main kind of like conversation that this is kind of centered around.
Uh-huh.
People saying that, hey, you know, like a lot of the conversation around autism is that it's, you know, a degenerative like brain disorder. It impacts people's lives. And like, obviously there's a desire to help these people, you know, better like live out their lives.
Yeah.
But like people kind of take issue with the way that they talk about it being a like it's a negative, you know, a problem to solve. There's a conversation about how it's, rather than calling like the autism condition as like a problem, it's like they're just different, and we should, rather than approaching them as like a problem that needs to be solved, approach them as like better integrating them as like legitimate brain states in yeah, society.
Yeah, so like designing solutions that work for them and integrate them into mainstream culture rather than like fixing the symptoms. So instead of like focusing on the person, focus right. on the environment.
Right. I mean, like part of that though, I think is like bringing this idea though of like genetic manipulation, like mm-hmm. what, like I haven't read this specific argument, but it's made me wonder about, you know, I mean, the reason why we try to stem off disease, right, is because we consider it a problem. Cancer is a problem, right? Because it kills people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's, you know, otherwise we would just be like, oh, it's a different dying state, you know, and like whatever, it happens, who cares?
It's universally, you know,
but it's like, okay, no, ideally, yeah, it's desirable to not die sooner than you could possibly live longer, right? That's worded weird, but I'm drunk, so.
Right,
but,
right.
But if the argument is trying to change, like, people with autism have a problem to people with autism are just different,
uh-huh.
then that, I think that changes that idea of, like, finding ways to prevent autism, because then you're saying, like, oh, why are you trying to prevent it if it's not a disease, if it's not a problem, you know?
But isn't it a problem for, like, the parents of people with autism who, like, once their child is 18, they can't be independent? Isn't that like an issue for those people, and shouldn't we offer them a way to not have that issue, whether that's providing care or being able to prevent autism?
That, I mean, honestly, that's how I think about it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's,
but I mean, that's why I've been kind of going through this idea, like of trying to say people that are, you know, born in different like physical mind states, you know, that they're, you know, that they do have an issue, and that their issue, like, well,
we can kind of like make this a more like less ambiguous when we talk about somebody with like a mental disorder, and kind of focus on like, okay, well, what if you don't have legs, right? You're born without legs. Like, is this a problem that needs to be fixed, or is this something that we should try to just like adapt the world to fit you in, right? So like we've done this to some extent with like ramps and building codes. You're like, oh, it needs to be handicap accessible for these public places. But we're also working on like making legs out of like robot legs for people that they can control.
Mm-hmm. I like this as an analogy, but I think that there's a big difference in that autism is kind of part of a person's identity more so than a physical ailment.
See, I'm interested in that kind of concept. And if you had more to say, I don't want to like cut you off.
Yeah, it's. I think it's what you're saying is like we need to preserve human dignity for those people who have autism but don't see it as a problem. See it mm-hmm. as like that's who they are. Mm-hmm. It must be tough for them to have their parents like advocating and trying to get rid of like an integral part of who they are as a person.
Right. The comparison I want to draw to that, which is I've thought about that. Is how in like particularly in the gay community there's a historically and contemporary a significant portion that is positive, that is HIV positive, and that becomes part of their like identity, you know, being a person that is living with and surviving with this disease.
Uh-huh.
But even though that like whether they want it to or not, like becomes part of their identity because that impacts how they relate sexually and intimately, like whatever, like that I'm pretty sure for the vast majority of them, none of them, you know, take it as like, well, this is just like a normal state. Like we shouldn't try to prevent this.
That's, and I know like, that's a disease that gets transmitted.
It though. Is. Yeah, no, it is. But I mean like that transmitted, like avoiding transmission and like working on drugs or, you know, contraceptives that prevent that. I mean, it's all talk about like preventing that from happening more, which right. is, I know it's not the same thing and I'm not trying to say that, but it is all preventative measures. And like, that's why I'm saying, like, I'm trying to look at it like those two things and like why one is so different. Cause both people live very long lives, mm-hmm. you know, like autism, people with autism live a very long life. Obviously, there's variances in like severe autism and like, you know, whatever, there's stages, but
yeah, same it's thing not a with, death sentence.
Right. The same thing with HIV. People live very long lives now with HIV. Yet, you know, it's not like, it's like you haven't died. Like, that's not the attitude anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely not like you shouldn't care about it, you know? Like, it's still like a not as desirable state to be in. because of...
Yeah, it would suck to have HIV or be autistic, but, like, I don't understand how having a transmitted disease becomes part of one's identity other than, like, its political wrap-up and how, like, politics around homosexuality developed during the 1980s. Like, the biggest thing I see with HIV and its, like, idea or its connection to identity was, like, it was used as a kind of a magnifying glass of how our politics did not deal with a problem because of its, like, association with homosexuality. Whereas, like, autism, I mean, you've got, there's no real, like, political identity to tie it to except the autistic, right? Like, the HIV in and of itself isn't the identity. The identity is that relationship to that, like, social idea of, like, homosexual. Whereas, like, autism is just the idea of autism. So I can see, like, how HIV kind of became this, like, this banner to rally behind when forging that identity to be like, hey, you guys didn't fucking deal with this. Like, that's a problem. We need more attention for, like, our community here. Whereas I don't see, like, with Asperger's, it doesn't seem like the main people dealing with it and stuff. Like, I mean, the people that have it are suffering from it, but it also affects the people that are, like, stuck taking care of these people that can't live out, like, a normal adult life because their kids are dependent on them. And I think those are the people that are mostly trying to advocate for its prevention, right?
Which must be hard for the people with autism.
Yeah, it must be hard, but it's also, like, I mean, I don't know. Do we provide public facilities for these people?
I mean, I think we should.
Yeah, why not? Until we can prevent it.
Yeah.
Whichever's cheaper, right? Because that's what we figure out to do with our tax dollars.
But I think we should be able to, like, provide housing for anyone.
Yeah, I agree.
Because that would solve homelessness. That would literally solve homelessness.
Yeah. But should they have to be, going back to eugenics, they have to be castrated before we give them that apartment?
No, but I think
chemically.
Chemically. But I think only the pedophiles. But I think the question that, like, begs to
they're
be answered.
They're not going
to
reproduce.
I think the question that begs to be answered, though,
is fucking kids.
Is that, you know, like, what do you say, you know, I don't know, I guess it's like that question of, okay, so we're validating that being autistic is worth preventing, right?
Uh-huh.
Based off of,
they're annoying.
Oh my god! And yeah, well, no, I don't know. So okay, let's go off that. So yes, we're validating that being autistic is worth preventing,
right? And like, then, based off of the idea that, you know, some of them, not all of them, but, like, some of them require an added level of like care. You know.
I was looking at a study earlier today, and it was like between one third and, I'm sorry, between two thirds and three quarters have, like, an IQ below 75. Like, that's like,
which is like basically mentally retarded.
Yeah, like, that's,
like, you
would
need someone's help.
Those aren't the autism, like, that's not the autism that you see in, like, pop culture, right? That's, like, actual people that can't function on their own.
Yeah, we have this, like, idiot savant idea where they're like, oh no, he's a great musician, but he's really bad in group settings.
Right. Or like, oh, he's a programmer.
But he can count.
He can't talk to people.
All the mm-hmm. dominoes or something.
Like, that's like a very, like, I don't know. It's not an accurate representation of what's going on.
It's a representation that's easy for us to handle.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like, honestly, I'm not coming in with knowing, like, statistics about the amount of people, like, the percentage of the autistic population that is independent, you know, or not. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Our super secret guest star is passed out on the couch.
That's all right. I don't think the mics are picking it up. Fred's snoring on the couch.
So yeah, so I'm not going to pretend that I have any semblance of, like, that information, but,
mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, it begs the question of because it's a podcast, like, how far does this go? You know, like, what is the standard of saying, like, okay, this is a type of person that, like, we should try to prevent creating more of, you know, as a world or as a society. Like, you know, like,
I also, sorry, I sort of disagree with, like, Sarah, earlier you said that, like, autism is tied to, like, people's identity, but I have heard, like people who can't walk talk about, like, their handicappedness as part of their identity, and they're like, I'm not disabled, I'm differently abled. Like, I have heard that as being that strongly tied to their, who they are. So, that's why I thought it might be an easier way to talk about it, because, like, since autism is like the spectrum, right? Like we could make the discussion about, like, okay, where do you draw that line? It'd be really hard to find it. And how do you define it? But like when we talk about it with something that's a yes or a no, right? Like either you can walk or you can't walk. Then we talk more about like, well, is solving it the right thing to do? And like, how do you approach it when it's a very clear answer? And then from there, we could go into the gray areas.
Okay. But I mean, with... I mean, like, with handicapped people, I mean, there are...
We're, like, really uncomfortable saying it. Yeah. With, I had the...
handicapped... Differently abled.
What are they called? Those people. With those people...
The people we don't want to talk like, about?
There are, obviously, like, different... They get there in different ways, right? Like, some people are born with... You know,
they all have their journey,
but other people, you know, like it's a transformative thing, right? Like they're in a car wreck,
right? I mean, let's assume they're born with it, an autistic person is born with autism.
Sorry, yeah, like Sarah's nubby hand. The start of this is eugenics, so yeah, we're talking about.
Like,
I guess, because like, okay, so where is that like? I don't know. Like, I think.
Okay, so like, if we can tell a baby is gonna not have the ability to walk in utero, should we try to give it that ability to walk, or is there nothing to fix?
Not calling it a baby.
Flush it out and try again.
Not calling it a baby.
Flush it out.
Yeah, it's a fetus, and it's not gonna be okay. A good one.
It's a zygote.
Don't people talk about the babies that they're gonna keep as that? Like, if this was gonna get aborted, then it's a fetus, and nobody gives a shit, right? But, like, people talk about the things in utero as their babies that are going to on the way. Nobody's like, oh, I have the cutest fetus. It's going to be such a great baby when it comes out. Yeah, nobody talks about their kid like that.
It's disgusting.
It's really gross.
So gross.
Right. So, okay. So, for us in the fetus, right, like, a fetus in utero that wants to, that whose parents want to keep it.
By the way, that's our alternate show, Us and the Fetus. You can catch us every fetus, other week, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Central Time.
So we can, let's say we detect in this fetus it's not going to be walking. Like, and we're like, oh, you know what, mom and pop, we can fix this.
Right.
You want to let us? Should we give them that option? Is it good? I don't see why not. Like, are they going to be like, no, it's part of my kid's identity. Fuck that.
I mean, that's the thing too, like with, you know, I'm gay, so I'm keep bringing up these gay examples, like, because like, that's an argument too when people were talking about finding the gay gene, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like some people were like, oh cool, this is like a biological vindication of queer identity, or specifically more like it was just gay identity, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
They were like, see, it's like biology, biological driver. You know, it's not a choice, like we weren't raised to be this way, like blah blah blah, it's written into like
genetic code.
You
should pour yourself another drink.
I should. I'm right after this point.
Pause it.
Okay, we're gonna pause. We'll be right back.
Right,
don't go anywhere.
More drinks. Don't come anywhere. I'll be here.
I'm gonna get the last word.
And we're back. Okay, so Michael was talking about the gay gene, and what we were talking about is whether or not you would be able to, like, if you could identify a gene, right?
Yeah.
In a fetus.
Whether they're like Levi, Diesel.
Right.
Abercrombie.
Yeah, because you want to know how much they spent on them.
Right. Like, I mean, are they acid washed? I mean, it's not the 80s.
Let's wash those babies in some acid.
That's how you get rid of the bad stuff. Acid. No, okay, so I was talking about how there's this idea of seeing what the fetus is going to grow up into, what conditions, like, they're going to have a disability. And I'm saying, like, okay, that same kind of idea was presented when the gay gene was discovered, or supposedly discovered. People were saying, okay,
they actually thought they found it for a while.
Yeah. I honestly looked into like follow up on like if it's legitimately now considered like gay gene. Like,
if you got this, was this recent or was this like a while ago? This is,
I want to say at least like 5 years ago or more.
That's nuts. Huh?
Really little turnaround. It keeps swinging back. So I can. I got so much work. Uh huh. You couldn't see that at home, but that was so much work.
It was not. He just doesn't know how like hinges work. All right, so
didn't go to school for hinges.
Handy Mowgli over here.
Yeah, no.
Handy Manny. They're both brown. Okay, so yeah. Michael. So
Handy Manny. You
should know how to isn't the conversation.
Bend things over.
Right. But okay, so that's the conversation, right? Or like it was a conversation that was happening. Like if people can see, like, okay, my kid's gonna be gay, I can choose whether or not I want to have that, right? So that's kind of a position of like, all right, we're not like we're allowing a choice of like state of being to be placed on a child, like way, like obviously before it has a choice, of course, but like
but if we're doing this with genes anyways, we're gonna be doing it all the time, right? Like we're gonna be doing it with like the color of your hair and like,
yeah,
I mean, that's a state of being,
right. So that's what we're talking about, like again, like degrees of like how much of this is acceptable, right?
Okay,
like how much could be like considered superficial details of like, okay, they're gonna have blonde hair with, you know, green eyes, like, yeah, that'll change their like their physical, like their like understanding of themselves, like physically. Mm-hmm. Like but is that how different is that from saying like, all right, so they would be a black child, but let's make them white, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it would be different. I think it's the same thing.
Really?
Well, yeah, you're talking about their genes and how they're going to come out. Mm. They're just extremes.
I think though, like,
they're not going to know any different. They're not like, oh, this isn't black on the inside. Like,
I don't know if.
Like, I was meant to be black, and then they're going to go and
I think
like,
not,
become
I think that,
the head of the.
I think that's an idea worth challenging, though, like saying like they wouldn't care. But like thinking like back, if like you were, you know, you grew up as like a you and then like all of a sudden it was revealed, hey, you're actually supposed to be white, or like you would have been white had your parents not intervened.
Okay.
Or black or whatever, you know,
that'd be different from hearing like, hey, you are going to be a blonde.
That, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because a lot of this is talking about like the validity of like identity politics.
Well,
right?
Hold on a sec. So like, what is race? It's like it's a set of genes, right, that create a physical appearance, and like it's a category of that. And then it can also be an identity, right?
No, I think race is a social product, right?
Do you think that, okay, but like when we're talking about genes, you just said like in the genes we're gonna say you're gonna be white, now you're black, or mm-hmm. the other way around. Then you're saying like, okay, let's find the black gene. Like you'd have to change a lot of things to make a person, like, are we just talking about changing their skin tone, like it would be you with just like a different shade, or are we talking mm-hmm. about you would look like your bone structure would be different, like all these other changes?
Totally.
Yeah, so yeah. When you say like, when you're saying the word black, you're meaning all these physical changes, not just the color of the skin, but like the structure, like,
yeah, yeah,
everything that we think of as being black or white or Hispanic or whatever.
Right.
So like, one, you would have to like be able to go to the doctor and be like, hey, doc, like, do you have a catalog of Asian for me? And like go through that and be like that one, which would be a combination of a bunch of superficial changes, right? Like, you're still Homo sapien. Here are these superficial changes we're selecting for. So that's kind of where the questions like confuse me. Like, oh, like is this big like identity marker? Like, oh, you would have been like this race. Like, okay, that's still like what we would be doing. We would be making changes on these. Like, even if we're making just one change, like you're blonde. Or we're going to change this whole set of genes mm-hmm. so that you look like this other type of human that maybe is from a different part of the world or whatever. Like, they're just two ends of a spectrum. I don't know. And then there's also, like, well, the whole other thing was just about health, but going into just superficial appearances, which, I just don't see I see, like, how the implication is different. I just don't see the difference in, the like, the method. Mm-hmm. Like, and like, oh, if we can do one thing, like, how could not be extended to another? Because then how would you, like, you would have to then, like, codify race in genes in order to, like, prevent that from happening, right?
Mm.
Like, in order to pass a law to say, like, oh, you can't make your baby, like, a different race, you'd have to define what those genes are and, like, how they should show. Which seems even more, like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
More divisive? Or I'm not sure I'm using the right word. More problematic, I'd say, if that's, like, in the legal code.
I don't know, it doesn't really seem like a moral issue. Like, we start doing the whole designer baby thing, mm-hmm. then that'll just become normal in, like, half a generation.
Yeah.
And then we can get some cool, like, Brave New World.
And then we can fuck them.
Yes, we'll just be fucking beautiful people.
It'll be awesome.
I think it'd be an interesting talking about experiment.
Fucking beautiful babies. I'm like...
No, you know...
Wait till they grow up.
And I was like... Ew, all babies are disgusting. So let's just say that right away.
We'd wait.
You're going to have a fucking baby-sized Catherine Zeta-Jones? Is that what we're trying to say?
Tiny Catherine Zeta-Jones. Yeah.
Well, you know, that'd be kind of cool if you could, like...
You're disgusting, Sarah.
All right, that actually brings me to a cool topic. All right, like, so if you could clone... Like, what if, like, we lived in the future where you could clone, like, adult versions... of, like, whoever you wanted, and they were considered property, and you could fuck them.
What if you could manufacture your own, like, celebrity lookalike fuck slaves?
I don't even know. Like, what if they only lived an hour? I don't know. Like, I'm just kind of going off on, like, this.
Then everyone would be getting laid. Everyone would be a lot happier.
That sounds very expensive.
Well, everything sounds very expensive until everyone has one, right? Like, cell phones are very expensive, like, 10 years ago.
We'll make it work.
Yeah, I'm not, like, I'm saying imagine we've gotten to the point where this is not an economic, like, hurdle that you have to jump over unless you're extremely impoverished and you still have, like, oh, you just have smartphones and neural implants. Well, then you can still,
like,
go have sex
with another actual person. Like, it's not like that'll become illegal. They're
not going to want to fuck you. You're ugly.
They might be poor.
But if everything is, like...
Another poor person, I can't afford
if we can afford if we can afford cloning an entire other person, we can afford plastic surgery.
I saw this movie... The Island? Elysium.
Oh.
And even though there were a lot of rich people who were able to use those fancy doctor boxes, not everyone could.
And they still made the poor people work the factories. It was actually pretty stupid.
It's terrible movie.
Now, do you see any, like, okay, so do you see any, like moral obstacle there, Sarah? I know you're pretty, like, what are you laughing about?
Oh, that movie.
That movie was so dumb.
Like Mexican Matt Damon.
Yeah, Mexa Damon.
So whitewashing in Hollywood, how do we feel?
Oh, Ghost in the Shell. What the fuck yeah. is up with that? What were you saying?
Oh, like, how would you feel about that? Like, okay, like, these human beings that have, like, an hour-long life, right? It's pretty much Blade Runner if all those robots were sluts and they, like, only lasted an hour instead of, like, four
years.
It's
like we had Mr. Meeseeks, but the challenge was always to make you come.
Yeah.
I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, you don't see any, like, moral...
Sarah, do you see... When you see people as sexual, like, people...
Objects?
Do you see them instead as sexual objects?
I see people as What's sexual the difference? People.
Well, when you think of people sexually, do you think of them less as a person?
No.
What's a guy who left a comment on our... he wanted to, like, fuck you? What's that guy's name?
I don't know.
Oh, shit. Poor guy. I was trying to make him feel happy for a second.
Can't even fucking name drop Whoops. your...
So the answer is yes. She objectifies people. Because, duh, he's just some guy that fucking commented.
Just some cock floating around the internet.
Cock floating around in cyberspace. Not tethered to any fucking brain.
Why don't you take the red pill, America? Why don't you take the red pill and understand the reality of the situation? Internet men are the most oppressed demographic in this country. And Sarah's here to prove it.
Nice segue into men's rights there. And Sarah knows. She's got plenty experience with
Yeah, I
men.
Do kind of
oppressing
men
inside
men.
Of her vagina.
Yeah, but it's fine.
But I objectify, like, everyone, to be fair.
You know,
and that's why she
oppression
has no
that's
friends.
Equally laid out isn't no longer oppression, Sarah.
But it, like,
that was a double negative on oppression, purpose, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I was like, is he trying to be sarcastic or is he telling you something?
I think that there's just a difference because it doesn't, like, hinge on sex.
What doesn't hinge on sex?
Objectifying people, because you might just, like, want something from them other than their dicks.
But you're going to get their vagina.
Like dinner.
Or their butthole.
I don't really or their like
butthole.
Butt
or their butthole is dinner.
Oh.
Ooh.
Sarah, how do you feel about...
I've never done it. I've had my butt licked and I wasn't impressed.
Hmm.
It just doesn't do anything for me. Like, I've got a perfectly nice vagina, like an inch away.
That's all you had to say about that?
Yeah, that's I don't remember what we were talking about.
Yeah, we were talking about
drunk.
Yeah, we got drunk and
we were talking about if you would use eugenics to alter your vagina in any way.
Presto, no, shut I like up. My vagina.
You do?
Yeah, her vagisty.
That's a Oh yeah, I was talking to Sarah and Sarah earlier today about vaginas and liking them. I was like, "How could you like your vagina? You can't even see it."
Dude, we take a look every once in a
while. How do you see it?
With a mirror.
See?
You get a pocket mirror. And you just lie down and you take a look and you go, oh, that's right. It looks like a pink flower.
And they're like, I talk about my vagina all the time. I bleed once a month. They're like, I bleed once a month. I pee. And I'm like, that's not talking about your vagina. That's like if I took a shit and I told you I was talking about my butthole. Like, no, I'm talking about poop.
Yeah, but you know, we do talk about our vaginas. They're like, oh,
how is your vagina today?
I've got a really big clitoris. And then someone's like, oh, really? Is
it
like,
says that?
I don't know. Women. I don't have
I've never heard
friends.
Women saying that to each other.
You don't have a vagina. Why would you be listening in on this? It's like locker room
Well, like, this
banter.
Is the vagina club? Like, the vagina,
club
talks
monologues.
About the clits? I've probably seen more clits
fun.
Than you.
That was fun. I liked the vagina monologues.
Yeah, I liked it too.
The fuck are the vagina monologues?
I'm a progressive,
See, you
I'm
don't
a progressive
know.
Gay.
You don't care about vaginas.
I care a little
vaginas
bit about vaginas.
I don't care about you. Thank you. We appreciate that.
What do you mean I don't care about vaginas?
You don't care
What's
about vaginas.
Caring about vaginas?
Exactly.
Listening to them.
Exactly.
They don't talk.
Wow. Well, that's why
so
you didn't see vagina dunk.
Hold on a second. You're like, don't objectify people when women talk. It's a vagina talking. Like, this is the stupidest fucking contradiction ever. I'm like, no, vaginas don't talk. They're attached to people. No, you're dumb. You got to learn more about women.
Mowgli sees dumbness. Women see a path to love.
Vag enlightenment?
Self-love.
Like
orgasm.
And enlightenment.
Self-love? Okay, like, I want to hear one of these vagina monologues. What did they say? What did the vagina say?
I honestly only remember the one where that woman got raped with a bottle.
Oh.
Wow,
like,
Sarah.
That was, like, not a fun story.
There we go.
That was a downer of a vagina
was it,
monologue.
Was it like a beer bottle size? Or was
I don't
it like
know,
a champagne
they were like,
bottle?
Soldiers and a farm girl.
Where?
Austria.
Hmm.
Was this during like World War II?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Okay.
This was like something
I
that I watched
also
on HBO
say that the,
a long
the,
time
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, right. I watched it. And I equally don't remember anything because of a long time ago. But
so neither of you care. Fuck you guys. You're like, oh, you don't care about vaginas. You don't listen to them talk. Vaginas
we've,
can't fucking talk.
We've literally been caring about this for the past like 2.5 minutes.
You've
Mowgli.
Cared so
you
long you can't remember.
I've cared about my own vagina my entire life.
But we had to validate that with some
vagina?
Kind of
yeah.
We had to validate that with some sort of cultural production because Sarah's vagina isn't it's just one vagina in a world of other vaginas. So when
there's many vaginas in the city,
there's so
like,
many voices.
When a great rallying vagina cry
what
speaks
the fuck?
Out, then maybe finally you'll understand that like vaginas like deserve to be listened to.
The
That's what I'm trying
queef.
To say.
The primal queef.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
The primal queef.
Then you'll listen.
Then you'll listen.
All right, so like we all at this table know vaginas can't talk. So when you say vaginas deserve to be listened to, are you talking about women? Doesn't that seem a little fucked up?
It's people
I've seen a vagina smoke. I bet a vagina could speak.
It's not literally saying vaginas need to talk. It's the whole like vagina monologues is just like telling stories about like female like sex and like validating those stories.
And, like one and, like, woman had her husband shave her vagina.
By validate, do you mean just like listen to and clap?
And then eat cake, yeah.
Because that's what it sounds like. What do you mean by validate? What, like telling a story about yourself validates it? I understand that among a peer group, but then
women's sexuality typically isn't something that is like be able to be talked about like candidly or like with humor or stuff, like in most situations.
Yeah, we can thank. But the
like dick jokes and like shit like that, and like talking about fucking chicks with your dick is like a pretty
dude. Sarah cunt slaps people. What do you?
Do you cunt slap people?
Haven't cunt slapped anyone.
You've threatened to cunt slap people. Okay, maybe I'm not getting it because I just don't care if people talk about their sex lives, whether or not they're male, female, straight, gay, whatever. Dick. Like, I'll hear it. What? Cunt slap your dick? Is that what you just said?
It doesn't even sound like a bad thing. It sounds like you're getting laid.
Yeah, I'm going to cunt slap your dick. That's a great saying. Sarah said it to me once in like a grocery store, and there was like this older goth woman, and she just started like cracking up. She was like, "Shut up, I'm gonna cunt slap your dick."
That woman loved it. I hope she started saying it.
Yeah, she's like, "These kids said the funniest thing in the grocery store the other day." They were walking around, and the girl says, "I'm gonna cunt slap your dick."
It's such a good Sarah that you got there. Yeah, it was uncanny. I thought she was saying it herself.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I got the headphones on. I can hear myself. So I'm like really getting the impressions
channels
down.
Of baby.
No, okay, fine. So I get that. That like in dominant culture, women don't get to talk about their sexual experiences.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So I would say like, then I don't think most of them were about rape.
No, I don't think so either.
Because that's what Sarah wants
Sarah
to present.
Sarah latched on to.
That was because that's what I'd think about when I masturbate later.
Okay.
Yeah, let's open it to that. So so you go to the vagina monologues or you listen to it.
I watched it on HBO.
So you watch the vagina monologues on HBO. You're sitting there. You're like, these stories are boring and forgettable.
Can I interrupt for just 1 second? I want to say like the only like male comparison to that was the like semi like spotlight HBO episode about that touring male genitalia like stretching and like
those people
weren't
there like two of them
there were two guys and they would like wrap their dick around their balls and call it like an elephant or something. Mm-hmm. I want to say this that's the comparison for like the male
to the bottle and the vagina
to that to the whole monologues. Yeah, that was the male
genitalia. Hold on, so I want to go back to the thing I was asking. So some guy
Mike is like over it. It's like I'm done.
So you're watching the vagina monologues. Mm-hmm. Everything's forgettable. You're like, whatever. Fuck that bitch. I'm not going to remember this. Some woman is like I was sitting around in Austria or whatever.
Yeah, she was in like a farmhouse and she was in a bale of hay and there were some soldiers.
Are you sure this isn't like a porn? You're just like...
It could be both. Why can't it be both? I'm positive it's the vagina monologues.
No, because
though.
I said just a porn.
It's definitely part of the
So she's sitting in a bale of hay.
Yeah.
And some soldiers walk by. And now you're not sure if this was pornography or the vagina monologues.
This was definitely the vagina monologues.
Okay. Because you said you weren't sure like 2 seconds ago.
I lied. I'm drunk.
All right.
I'm telling the truth now.
Okay. Yeah.
It was the vagina monologues.
You can't decide.
And there was another one. And she let her husband shave off her pubic hair and she didn't like it.
That sounds boring.
It was. That's why they're so forgettable.
I want to go back to the bottle one.
Yes.
So a woman tells a story about a bunch of soldiers putting a bottle in her.
Yes.
Those soldiers didn't have penises or?
No, they did that first. And then they broke a bottle and stuck it in her just for fun.
They broke it?
Yeah. There were soldiers.
Did they break it, stick it in her, get her to bleed, and then fuck her?
No, they fucked her first.
Okay, good. I want them to be a little bit safer. That doesn't sound safe.
It was like those poor soldiers.
Yeah, I was like, why would you fuck a vagina with glass in it? Ew. What the fuck? So anyways, so they're fucking her, and they shove a bottle in her,
mm-hmm.
and then you went up to bed, and you were like, What am I going to think about? I want to be in a farmhouse in a bale of hay and have a bunch of soldiers pop up.
No, it was like a couple of years down the line. So I wasn't masturbating then.
You were masturbating years later and the story stuck out to you and then you were like,
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You gotta keep a lot of material because you're going to get bored easy.
Yeah, you got to recycle it. What did you like about that story? What appealed to you?
I like soldiers. They all look the same. They all have jobs.
You like soldiers because they all look the same and they all have jobs.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what if you told somebody that that's why you like them? They would not be happy about that.
I like you because you really look like other
you. You look like everyone else and you have a job. Like, where do you live, Korea?
They would praise me for my honesty.
Yeah. Somebody would praise you, right? All right. Well, I think Sarah's falling asleep and we've exhausted our topics unless anybody has anything else to say.
Now I want to watch the vagina monologues.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
So we can hear about vaginas
Sarah
other than yours.
Sarah watched the vagina monologues.
I want to invite our viewers, your viewers. I keep saying our listeners.
The listeners.
This isn't my show, but.
You're a very special guest.
Then fucking tell me what you're going to plug before you start plugging it on the not your show.
Vagina monologues.
Okay, listen to the vagina monologues. Look out for Sarah's recommended top picks. Bottle in the vagina. And what was the other one?
Shave that pussy.
And shave the pussy, but don't
one,
like it.
Yeah, that one wasn't good. That was just sad.
Well, apparently those are the only two memorable for Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
So. Did any stick out to you?
Honestly, no, it's way too long ago.
Okay, Michael doesn't remember any of them.
Yeah.
So, at least Sarah remembers two things that vaginas have said.
I have a vagina, and some of them resonated with me.
You ever tried putting a bottle in your vagina?
No, I don't like putting stuff in my vagina.
You like it when other people do it for you?
Well, only if they're like, it's like living.
You're lazy.
I know.
God, you're lazy.
No, I just don't like.
Let's just end on that. Sarah's fucking lazy. She can't even put anything in her own pussy.
Yeah, I agree. Let's everybody listening. Sarah's too lazy to put stuff in her own vagina. She needs help from anyone else.
I just don't like foreign objects in my vagina.
If you happen to be homeless, I don't know why you're listening to this. Go get a fucking house. Like, this is the worst thing you could be doing is listening to our show. But if you are homeless.
Free internet at the, like, goddamn, like,
Starbucks
library.
No, but, like, what I'm saying is that this is not improving their life.
I think you're selling yourself short, guys. I think both
the only thing that will come out of this is that they'll meet Sarah and get laid.
No, I don't think that'll actually happen.
That's because she doesn't want more comments online. That's why she said that.
I get that.
That'd be
Mowgli
so
is those comments
gross.
Online. So.
Oh, God. Ugh.
What?
It turns into like Sarah gets laid from creeps from the internet.
Ew, please. Okay.
That sounds awful.
We're shutting it down.
Hold on a
Sarah,
second.
Sarah, no.
No. Keep talking. Listen. If it turns into that, it's not going to be because of me. All right. It's because of her. Like, whenever people are at our house, if they're sleeping on the couch, she's like, hey, do you want to come to my room? And then, like, she gets laid, and then she's like,
"It's not.
I was just
purpose.
Trying to be nice.
I just wanted to go to sleep."
When you don't get laid on purpose, that's either like rape or you had sex with someone.
It wasn't.
Nobody's like, "Oops, I accidentally fucked."
Actually, I think a lot of people are like
I think,
that.
Yeah. That
really?
Yeah.
Frequently, like, whoops.
Who doesn't know that they're having sex when they're having sex?
No, they know that they're having sex when they're having sex. It's more that feeling of oops because it's like not premeditated and like they didn't. Yeah.
Who needs a premeditated
sex?
No,
you've never heard of people being like, wow, that just happened. Yeah, it just happened.
Yeah, you're like afterwards, oh, that was unexpected. And then they like apologize and you go take a shower.
I don't think it always ends that way, but okay.
No, I've never been surprised that I just had sex. I'm always like aware that I just fucked somebody. I don't.
That's
get
not.
How this
you're
is
saying
surprising.
That like that's not. That's not what surprised
Wait,
me.
Like so
like
so,
you're
like,
aware that you had sex. That's
you know
it's
that
not
it
like
happened.
A coma. Like,
okay, so I'm,
you're just surprised that it happened.
I'm still not sure. What's surprising about sex?
It's not sex itself is surprising. It's that you weren't expecting sex to happen then.
Because you just wanted to go to sleep, and you thought that it would be nice, because, like, downstairs there's a beep.
I am never not expecting sex to happen. I think that's the problem. Like, it doesn't make sense to me why, like, if there is somebody in my...
You think everybody wants to have sex with you?
It's not that. That's a very different statement. What I'm saying is that, like, I'm open to sex happening, and when it happens, I'm not like, whoa, did sex just happen? I'm like, yeah, people fuck each other, so what?
No, you literally keep saying something that we're not saying.
Right, like, you're not, you're, words, it is literal that I'm not saying exactly what you're saying.
You keep making a point that we're not making. You're arguing against a point we're not making.
Okay, help me understand your point. What is the point?
That it's possible for two people, even if one is horny, which is basically what you're saying, that, like, the act...
Both of them are, but yeah, okay.
Okay, the act, though, of them hooking up was surprising because you just didn't expect you specific two people to hook up.
Yeah, like, that just wasn't the expected course of action. You're like, I'm gonna go to sleep and probably get spooned, and then I'll wake up and make pancakes.
I mean, like, yeah, I can see how, like, I've been in situations where I've had sex with somebody and it wasn't planned. Is that what you're talking about? And then you're like, whoa, I just had sex with somebody.
And you're just like, oh, it wasn't like what was planned. That's pretty unexpected. Didn't think that was going to happen.
Oh, yeah, I don't get it.
Okay.
Cool. Okay.
So we're leaving off another episode where Mowgli doesn't fucking get it. Maybe...
sex with somebody, I don't fuck them. Maybe I'm not like, too. Oh, that just happened, and then they apologize to me and walk away. Like, all right, what the fuck are you talking about?
Okay, all of that other shit is like,
that did not make sense.
No. All that other shit, that's not what I'm talking about. All that shit is just weird Sarah bullshit. I'm total. If that's the point, then yeah, weird Sarah bullshit. Yes, got that.
Those little details. I have to ignore.
Yes, those other weird. Little particularities, yes.
People don't apologize to you.
No, Sarah.
You know what? I've had somebody apologize to me.
Okay.
But that was like, I was like, why are you apologizing? They're like, well, I feel like I just used you. And I was like, that's fine. I don't care. Like, why does this matter?
That was there, too.
Like, I had sex with you. I'm an adult. I get it. I know what happened. I'm not like, oh, fuck. What happened with my dick? Oh.
Do people thank you?
Yeah, that happens more often.
That's cool.
Do people thank you, too?
Yeah.
Aw. Well, they're homeless. They have signs that say thank you.
Thanks for giving me a place to sleep.
Oh, God. Okay. Michael, have you been thanked or apologized to during sex or after?
I've never been apologized to. Thankful. No, yes, I've been thanked, but not apologized to.
Yeah, it confuses me if somebody's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. It's like, why are you sorry? I would have told you
that
not
happened
to
you more
it.
Than once.
No, it happened okay. once. I was like, she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean for that to happen. And I was like, I don't care.
I was like, sorry for what?
Like, if I didn't mean for it to happen, it wouldn't have fucking happened.
I think that was a very, like, specific situation with someone that had...
No, you're thinking about somebody else.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure? All right, well, this is not something that will be talked about on...
Yeah, we have to come up... You know what we should do? We should get that list somewhere else, and then we should put up, like, names of people, and then, like, the name that we'll use for them during the podcast.
We've already used a lot of people's names.
Like who?
Like Nikki.
Yeah, Nikki doesn't... He's not going to listen to this. But we've avoided everybody else's... Like, I think I used Alana's name.
People on the internet will find him. Just going to throw that out there. Like, it'll happen.
It won't matter, though.
No one listens to this.
You have one stalker already, Sarah. Don't underestimate...
He's not a stalker.
Yeah, that's what you think now.
He's someone from Tinder.
If he keeps
that's
trying,
what you think now. You don't
laid.
Think stalkers live on Tinder, Sarah? What is
yeah,
that supposed
do you think
to
they
mean?
Come from?
Oh, he's on Tinder. He's okay. No, Sarah.
Sarah, this is how you accidentally wake up and realize you've had sex. Like, no, oh, that just happened.
No, he said he liked my musical taste on Tinder.
No, he just said he was sleepy and I offered him my bed.
He said he needed my PIN number just to, like, get gas to get over here. I don't know. I don't.
He brought the lube because he said he needed to moisturize.
Just to catch a predator?
I don't know.
He's going to leave a backpack.
Sarah, you're not 12.
I'm going to go make some like, lemonade. Excuse me, Sarah. You're here to rape a child.
Oh, God. And we've come into child rape, ladies and gentlemen. Let's keep drinking. This is awesome.
Yeah, this is great, Sarah. Let's get you drinking this.
No, my tummy hurts.
Your tummy is about to explode.
I don't want to explode.
All right. Well, I think it's time to wrap it up. We've had a good talk. We got really drunk and went on multiple tangents. It's been great. Great first episode with Michael.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for coming.
First of many.
And then a talking vagina, apparently, over here. Sarah.
It's not all I am.
I agree, which is why I got really confused when you guys said vaginas fucking talk. I'm like the idiot for being like, why are we saying vaginas are talking? Aren't they called people? No, you're dumb. You don't know how to listen to vaginas. Like, okay, I guess I don't.
You know nothing of metaphor.
The vagina whisperer. Dude, idioms are That's stupid.
George Clooney.
The vagina whisperer. It's George Clooney.
George Clooney. Gross.
It's Trunks.
George Clooney is Trunks?
No, Trunks is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Trunks, the vagina whisperer.
I'm not talking about this.
Trunks has never talked to a vagina. Except for like
his where I talked to his mom's vagina.
I'll talk about fucking bottle rape, vaginas, and gay jeans, but I'm not talking about Trunks. What? I already made this distinction, guys.
Play with a light, Trunks.
Yeah. I thought you liked Dragon Ball Z. I didn't realize you were such a like asshole.
Yeah, I learned this at like some night at Metro when I was getting all excited about Super, and he was like, "Ugh!"
It's like, "Oh my god!"
I was like, "Wait, really?"
I prefer wrestling.
Because it's more.
The Rock doesn't take 10 episodes to power up.
That's true.
That is true.
I'm pretty sure he holds the record for the quickest WWF match ever because he's that skilled. It was like 10 seconds. Skill.
Yeah.
That's what that show is all about.
So, coming up at some unofficial point in the future, The Rock versus Vin Diesel. We're going to talk about it.
Vin Diesel, woo!
Yeah, we're... Sarah and
Would
I
the
are
Rock
for
show
Vin
mercy Vin. And let him live? That's what we're going to discuss.
Vin Diesel kicking his stupid face.
No, I don't know. I think Vin Diesel's got it.
I think he's got it in the bag.
Yeah. I mean, we got to watch, like, let's just watch that one scene.
People thought the earth was flat before they stopped being dumb.
So you're telling us that you're a person or what? I mean, what's the point of that story?
What?
Sarah, the voice of the people. What?
Yeah, no.
What?
We're just like
people thought the earth was flat and they were wrong. So like therefore we're wrong about Vin Diesel.
Yeah, because you're what both you dumb. Talking? Similarity.
That's not how arguments work.
I'm pretty sure that's how I just won that argument, but okay.
Yeah, that didn't make sense.
It's because you're dumb. I had a great time. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to have to do this again.
We'll definitely do it again. Hope you all had fun out there.
Out in listener land.
In Lala listener land.
Fucking Internetville.
Yeah.
All right.
Wi-Fi-topia.
Wi-Fi-topia.
Why is that so funny?
Why are you laughing? How's www dot funny, Sarah?
The vagina laughs. I don't know your URL.
What are you fucking laughing about?
I don't know your URL. This is confusing the
shit out of me.
I wanted to say your URL, but I don't know it.
Oh, it's what the fuck is it?
Nerdy bored at almost 30.